The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. On the front page of the papers today, you'll see news that Singapore has avoided a technical recession in the third quarter. That's going by the latest flash estimates, which showed growth year on year of 0.1% and quarter on quarter at 0.6%. The question we're asking this morning is, what does that spell for the property sector? Well, if you look at the commercial sector, it seems that tenants are resisting further hikes in rents and are increasingly seeking a flight to value. That's according to a recent report by property consultancy firm Colliers International. In fact, with me in the studio this morning is Tricia Song, Head of Research for Singapore Colliers International. Tricia, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about 2019 and how it's been for office rentals. It seems that grade A office rents in the CBD area have been rising. Tricia, how much has it been growing? Where are we right now?
The CBD grade A office space has actually been growing in terms of rentals, have grown 15% in 2018. And 2019, it has actually been slowing down slightly.
Okay.
Currently has grown about 7% year to date, up to 9 months, 2019. And we expect it to start to slow down pretty significantly by the next quarter, in fact, the fourth Q this year, and the whole year we're expecting about 8%. So it's about half of where we were in 2018. A lot of this growth has actually been very much on the low base that we had for rentals since 2015. Rentals start to slow down significantly to decline over 2015 to 2017 before picking up in late 2017. So we have seen 2018 coming up very strongly from a low base, and obviously from strong demand from flexible workspace as well as technology occupiers. So currently going forward, from a higher base, we expect the growth to actually slow down. And of course, due to the slowing economy, but the saving grace from the economic numbers you've seen is that services are still growing.
Right.
Albeit at a slower clip.
Right.
That's why we are saying that going forward, even with services still being the pillar of the economic growth, averting a technical recession, definitely you will still have to slow down.
Okay, so starting off on a low base, hence we saw that quick jump, but now because of the economic situation, we are going to start to see a slowdown naturally in that sense.
Yes.
Numbers, and since you brought that up, a sigh of relief I hear here and there yesterday because of the numbers that show Singapore escaping a technical recession, growth at 0.1% year-on-year for the third quarter, or 0.6% quarter on quarter. In terms of business confidence, Tricia, what are you seeing these days?
I think from our conversations with occupiers, it's actually quite two-tiered. It really depends on the businesses that you're in.
Right.
For selected sectors, I think the businesses is still growing. For example, technology occupiers, a lot of them are actually still growing, but it really depends on whether you are in a new economy, technology, or the old economy. You still hear news like HP,
sure,
who are actually cutting costs, cutting headcount, but you are also hearing very good news from technology guys like the e-commerce. Amazon is growing significantly in Singapore. And so you really, it's a two-tier kind of sentiment. So we are seeing manufacturers in general still very pretty negative. Selected services, professional services, they are growing. Even in the financial institutions, private wealth is doing well.
Okay.
Investment banking, you're still hearing selected news of headcount cuts all over the world.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up Amazon since they recently made the papers. They are expanding in Singapore quite a bit. All right, depends on which type of the economy you're in. If it's tech, you know, you got to be in the new areas of tech. This caution that we are seeing, especially with regard to geopolitical landscape, the economy, the U.S.-China trade war and whatnot, how is it translating into the type of leases? For example, you know, do we have tenants opting for, say, shorter contracts, holding off on talks perhaps, or are they going for smaller spaces, cheaper options, faraway options? What are you seeing?
Okay, we have seen tenants who probably want to expand, but couldn't expand aggressively because of, limited space, probably the building that they want to be. So what happens is we are now seeing a flight to value where some of occupiers will actually opt for maybe not their first option in terms of the buildings that they want, not okay. the top buildings, not okay. the best buildings, but they opt for the second or third choice, but being able to expand with the limited amount of budget that they have. We have seen landlords who are still very positive on the office growth, the rental growth, because they're very, very limited vacancies in their buildings. So they were actually being pretty bullish in terms of renewal rates, asking rates for occupiers. So now occupiers are becoming more cautious and more cost conscious as well. So they are opting for the flight to value.
Okay.
So I'm not seeing them, we wouldn't recommend them to go for shortlists. In fact, in this kind of environment, it really depends on your visibility of your business needs.
Right.
If you are looking for, you want to be in Singapore for the long term, you can actually foresee an increase in the headcount. You probably should still go for a bigger lease, probably for a longer term, because right now we think that rents would probably still increase a little bit mm-hmm. even next year because of the limited space available. So I would see tenants actually moving around and landlords trying to push up the rents a little bit by a time.
So I've got some hypothetical questions for you, Tricia. You mentioned earlier about tenants seeking a flight to value. You even talked about, maybe get a bigger lease based on this flight to value methodology, I beg your pardon. Where are these places?
In our basket, there's obviously premium locations, like Marina Bay, okay. where you have the big swanky buildings. Some of this were completed only the last few years.
Okay.
And obviously, there's also the older office space, like in Shenton Way, you have older buildings. And even in Raffles Place, there are also relatively older buildings. So what we are seeing is some of these occupants who initially started out in the newer buildings, because obviously, they probably got lower rates when they started out with these new buildings.
Okay.
But now that with all the renewal cycles coming up and the landlords are actually raising the rates, they no longer enjoy any concessionary rates, they are actually open to moving into the older buildings in Raffles Place, in Shenton Way, to enjoy some cost savings.
Right.
Yeah, and some of these buildings, because probably they are not as bullish as the newer buildings landlords, so they are willing to actually give in into some of these rents. I think they are also cognizant of the slowing economy and the fact that their buildings are probably not the most premium. So we are seeing this trend going forward. Yeah.
And they've been around for a while now.
Yes.
But if you think about it, it's still a pretty good location to be
in.
Yes,
exactly.
In fact,
they might even be in better locations with all the infrastructure and the amenities that's already in place for a long time.
But if, let's say, I'm someone who's looking to lease out an office space and I'm in one of those newer buildings in this, say, the Marina Bay Financial District area, what can I bargain for? How can I turn the situation around to my advantage? What would you recommend?
I guess probably could be the branding and the diversification of the trade sectors that the landlords might actually be open to.
So ride on the other offices that are in the area and who you could possibly network with. Is that what you're saying?
It could be.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be. But I think the networking effect may not be as strong a motivation as the cost savings and the amenities that's available.
Right.
And of course, there's also, I think earlier we mentioned that flexible workspace operators has been one of the key movers. They have been taking up a lot of these spaces. So they have actually been, building a lot of their presence in almost across the buildings. And the presence of them in the office sector actually provides an option for a lot of these occupiers. So imagine that you are uncertain about your needs, your space needs. At least you can't be committed for the longer term.
Right.
You might actually think about, putting some of your workforce in a flexible workspace kind of arrangement.
Okay.
You can actually grow, contract this workforce or this presence in the flexible workspace operators according to your needs.
Okay.
And you can actually change pretty fast because obviously this flexible workspace operators is operating by months, monthly rates, for example. So you could actually use that as a real estate solution.
Right.
Yeah. You don't definitely, you know, you need to move. But you can actually exercise a different option. So that's why we think that the flexible workspace is probably, you know, still a good option out there. And they are probably here to stay. Currently, the penetration of flexible workspace operators in the CBD Grade A office space is still pretty low at about 5%.
Right. Pardon my ignorance. When you say flexible workspace, you're talking about these co-sharing workspaces, right?
Flexible workspace could mean both co-working space as well as service offices. So, yeah, it's actually not a new concept.
Right,
for
right.
flexible workspace, from very earlier on, we already have a service office. You probably have heard that. Mm-hmm. So that is a form of flexible workspace.
I see.
It's just that over the last few years, the co-working...
Trendy with a beer tap and
exactly,
all that.
Exactly. With the sharing economy, co-working sounds like a sexier word.
Yeah.
But they are actually all flexible workspace. Right. And they all provide the flexible option for occupiers.
It targeted at a younger age group as well. You know, they make it renovated very nicely. Okay, I like your point there. Landlords preferring diversity of tenants, it does help to spread risk a bit. But talking about this co-sharing and using the word co-sharing workspace, there's a prominent company that's been making the news for the wrong reasons. You know, things like being overvalued, unsustainable expansion. News like that, I know you said, you know, it looks good. What does that spell for the outlook for co-working spaces in Singapore? Should we ignore that bad news?
We try to avoid talking about, you know, business models of selected companies because it really the concept of flexible workspace is definitely positive. As we mentioned, that the reason why it has risen so much over the last few years, it has actually tripled in terms of the presence in Singapore over the last few years. The reason for that was because there was definitely a need for this co-presence. By offering flexibility options to landlords as well as occupiers, they actually increase the attractiveness of being in wherever you are, like the CBD, especially in the same building. And as I mentioned earlier, the penetration in the market is still pretty low at 5%. So imagine a building, there's only 5% of the space is dedicated to flexible workspace. Do you think that is sufficient for a co-sharing kind of economy going forward? Yeah. I think probably there's still some room to grow. Yeah. And in terms of what you mentioned, maybe, you know, some of the business models may not be so viable. But if you look holistically for the entire sector, we think that there's still room to grow. And it really depends on who will get to win everything. But I really don't think that it's going to be a monopoly in the first place. Yeah. And it works well for everyone to have some sort of, maybe the top five market share holders. They will probably do pretty well.
Okay. Tricia Song, Head of Research for Singapore Colliers International, in the studio with me with a property outlook. Tricia, let's talk about Q3 in terms of investments. What were some of the highlights? What lies ahead when we are looking at the momentum?
The office, if you look at what we had discussed earlier, the rentals have been growing. Mm-hmm. In fact, it has grown from a low base, up 15% in 2018, and up another, we expect 8% for the full year 2019. It's obvious that the investors also saw that trend, and they have actually been coming into Singapore. In fact, a lot of foreign investors have come to Singapore to invest in the office sector. Okay. So this year, we're probably going to see a record-breaking commercial transaction kind of market by end of this year. We are still seeing a few large big ticket transactions that's coming through. Mm-hmm. A lot of these are actually in the CBD prime office space. And this will probably last quite a bit because in the it's probably quite, I would say, people won't be looking at global economy, even though it's slowing down. Singapore actually looks like a very stable kind of place to be, especially financial occupiers, for the businesses.
Yeah.
And investors actually saw that trend. It's probably a safe haven for their investments.
Yeah.
And they are in here for the long term. So we are seeing a lot of transactions in this space.
Talking about Singapore being a bit of a safe haven and stable environment in this part of the world, with regard to the ongoing unrest in Hong Kong, as a result of that, are you seeing any diversion of capital to Singapore? Singapore because of that from Hong Kong?
I think it's still a bit early to say. We have not seen actually a lot of Hong Kongers coming to Singapore for residential from all the stats that we have.
Okay.
And if you're talking about office transactions, Hong Kong investors has always been in Singapore. So we can't tell that, you know, there's a distinct trend before and after the protests. And as to whether, you know, occupiers are moving to Singapore, we have not seen that trend. But to be honest, you know, coming to Singapore and commit for the next 10-20 years in terms of business locations is a very long-term decision.
Yeah,
and it takes a lot of, you know, decision-making to be done before you can move your entire operations to Singapore.
You can't knee-jerk reaction on that one.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we have yet to see that happen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. Tricia Song, Head of Research for Singapore at Colliers International, in the studio with me, helping me out with a property outlook. Tricia, thank you and have a great day ahead.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.